Come on, put those thumbs up if you're happy to be in the house of the Lord. Come on, smile at somebody. Smile at somebody. Smile at somebody. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Amen. One more time. He has allowed us to come together, to sing together, to shout, to praise and pray together. One more time. So I pray that the song has reminded you of how privileged you are. That you're in the house of the Lord and not in a hospital. You're in the house of the Lord and you're not in the morgue. You're not in some cemetery. You're in the house of the Lord. And certainly we're blessed to be in the house of the Lord. Listen, we thank God for showing himself powerful and mighty. One of our members fell ill in service. And God has revealed himself. She's stable and doing fine. Amen. And we thank God for blessing her and seeing her through. And then I hear the voice of one who has been out, Sister Kidd. And she's here praising the Lord. And I see Mother Evans and Mother Brian, and Mother Larry, Mother Van, Mother Congress. Amen. And I just can go on and on. God is good, I tell you. And he's worthy to be praised. Listen, I ask your prayers. Our first E-member has passed in the person of Iris Van. And we're having to go Friday to funeralize Sister Van in San Antonio, Texas. We ask that you pray for Brother Jesse Van Jr. That the Lord will comfort him and console him. And then Miss Avery, is that right? Shanklin. Amen. We pray for Miss Shanklin as she has lost her husband on last week, and the same day her daughter's mother-in-law passed. And they are both will be funeralized on Saturday. So they need our prayers. And then look to your left and look to your right. Look to your left and look to your right. The persons you see, they may not be dealing with death, but they are dealing with the devil. He's busy. And they need your prayers. Amen. Look up this way. Amen. I need your prayers. My family needs your prayers. Listen, I want to thank you for praying for little Trinity. She was diagnosed with COVID on last week after service. And they are at home with precaution that they don't want... We don't want to expose anyone. So thank you for your prayers. Monday, she woke up and she was fine. You know, and I've been saying jokingly that she has been jumping like a frog. Full of energy. So she's. Thank you for your prayers. Amen. We have quite a few that have contracted the virus, but thanks be to God that he has mild it down. Amen. He has mild it down. God has put a collar on the COVID virus, the coronavirus, and it can't do all it want to do because God has domesticated. Amen. Amen. So we thank God. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. beginning with verse 1. Verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Look at someone, if you will, and say, living sacrifice. Living sacrifice. Look at another and say, living sacrifice. Living sacrifice. Come on, help me with elevated voices. Shout at the virtual audience, living sacrifice. Living sacrifice. That's what the Lord wants us to be. You may be seated. Living sacrifice. Not dead sacrifice. You know, some are waiting until they die to do something. But it's a living sacrifice. He wants some usage of you while you have strength and energy. He don't want you half dead, half doing. He wants you at your best. Matter of fact, he deserves our best. That we really have no business giving God leftovers. That he wants our best. Y'all just go on and help me preach by looking at somebody and tell them he wants your best. Yeah, he wants your best. He wants your best mind. Your best energy. He wants your best. He wants your best health. Your best vision, your best hearing. Paul says that we are to present the totality of our being to God. Because when he deals with body, he's not just dealing with the physical aspect or the physicality of man. He's dealing with the totality. All that we are, all that we have, he wants us to present to God. Strangely, Paul begins with therefore. It is strange but yet purposeful, in that he links together several therefores that he mentioned in Romans in chapters 1 through 11. In Romans chapter 3, he says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Not only Romans 3:20, but in Romans 5 verse 1, he says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Not only Romans 3:20 and Romans 5:1, but he also links this therefore with Romans 8:1, When he says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For this therefore serves as a hinge between two doors, the doors of doctrine and the doors of duty. For he links together what he said in verses or chapters 1 through 11 with what he will say in chapters 12 through 15. In verses or chapters 1 through 11, Paul reveals the truth about God and sin and Christ and the cross and the Spirit and faith and justification. He says that we are justified, we are declared right and righteous because of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He deals with salvation. Justification in salvation, that we are made right. Hallelujah. May not act right, may not talk right, but we are made right because of our faith in Christ. And he says, because of what God has done for us in chapters 1 through 11, we should, according to chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, present our bodies as living sacrifices unto God. He makes an appeal to the Christian believers at Rome to live a sacrifice as a sacrifice unto God. He appeals by the mercies of God. Mercies of God. God's compassion and God's pity. God not doing to us what we deserve. Y'all just hang on in there with me a minute. That God has not plumbed the line. That God has not poured out his wrath on us, though we deserve his wrath. God holding back his wrath. And he says that if you don't have any other reason to live your life as a living sacrifice, that's a sufficient reason that God has spared us. God has blessed us to see this day. And listen, he says that therefore, for that reason, we should live as living sacrifices. 3 points I want to divulge from the text. That if we would live as a sacrifice, number one, living as a sacrifice necessitates the mercies of God. Verse 1 says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. He deals with living as a sacrifice. Spiritual worship is more than you elevating your voice and saying hallelujah. Spiritual worship is more than you clapping your hands and lifting your hands and standing from your seat. It's more than you saying something and doing something when you are in the sanctuary. Spiritual worship is the life you live that satisfies God. In other words, it's the life you live in and out of the edifice of God, in and out of the house of God, in and out of the sanctuary. It's your lifestyle. God wants you to live your life, your complete life, not just your Sunday morning life, but he wants you to live your complete life as a sacrifice. That means that you are to sacrifice your life for the Lord on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday and Sunday, and then it starts all over again, that you sacrifice again your life for the Lord on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Then it starts it all over again. He wants you to live your complete life as a sacrifice. In his service, every day. So he's not talking about how we look on Sunday. Just how we look on Sunday. He's talking about our complete life. He wants you to live as a sacrifice on your job. You know, among your family. Among your friends. He wants you to live your complete life as a sacrifice. It is John Piper who said our lives are rooted in and founded on the mercies of God. That God is a God of mercies. Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 3 said, blessed be the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies. And the God of all comfort. Brothers and sisters, we should be motivated by the mercies of God to present ourselves as living sacrifices unto God. See, to present yourself in your body as a living sacrifice, Paul says that we should present, we should offer. It's not God making us, it's us willfully offering. Not just when we get in trouble, but when things are going well, we willfully offer our bodies as living sacrifices. Again, the word body talks more than just about our physical house. It deals with the totality of our being, because our bodies carry out the acts of our thinking. So our bodies become the vehicle to do what we think. That's why the Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So your thinking determines your actions. You can't act above your thinking. You can't do beyond your thinking. So he says the body, that we present our vehicles unto the Lord, the part of us that carries out what we think, unto the Lord as a living sacrifice. Here's the picture. The picture is that of one who climbs or crawls upon the altar and sacrifices self for the service of God. Here's the sacrifice: that you get self out of the way so that God's will, his desire, will be priority in your life. So you sacrifice self. He says mercies of God. By the mercies of God. Now don't just skip over that small two-letter word by. Because by is a primary preposition denoting the channel of an act. It is through the mercies and because of the mercies of God that we are able to present our bodies. Here's two things, two truths that's denoted in the use of the word mercies. The mercies of God indicate the unfailing pity and compassion of God that it is because of the mercies of God that we are not consumed. The only reason we are sitting up in here, up in here, up in here, is because of the mercies of God. Now you all ought to have a mercy shout, because you could have been dead a long time ago. You could have been somewhere sleeping on the bridge. You could have been somewhere under some bridge, or under some a roof that's a shelter. You could have been. But the Lord bless you with mercies. You could be somewhere in an insane asylum. Mercies. Hallelujah for mercies. He says that it reveals the favor, the unfailing pity and compassion of God. But then mercies of God brings out our condition as dependent, helpless, and miserable. In other words, Paul uses the word mercies to refer to the spiritual favor that we have received from God to do what is pleasing to God. One writer suggests that the plural use of the word mercy is intended to cause the Christians to recall specific cases where God has demonstrated his mercies in their lives. Listen, God has demonstrated his mercy in our lives by waking us up this morning and providing food for us to eat, shelter over our heads, giving us a portion of health and strength, regulating our minds, keeping our enemies at bay, saving our souls, giving us joy unspeakable, giving us peace beyond understanding, healing our bodies. God has expressions of mercy in our lives. And he says, for that reason, we are to present our bodies. See, without the mercies of God, you can't present. You don't have the ability to present. You don't have the authority to present without the mercies of God. You remember Jesus in John 15, verse 5. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same bring forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. One songwriter says, without him, you can't even walk except he holds your hand. You can't do nothing without him. Paul, to the church of Philippi, he says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So without Christ, without God, I don't have the ability to present myself. Because I'm no match for saying on my own. I can do nothing of my own. I need the mercies and grace of God. So if you're going to live as a sacrifice, it necessitates the mercies of God. Now, not only that, living as a sacrifice entails holiness. Now, I don't want you to shut me off and tune me out, because holiness is not a denomination. Holiness is the desire of God for his people to be like him. That's why he says, be ye holy, for the Lord your God is holy. Holiness is to be consecrated, to be different, to be set apart. That you can't live a life as a sacrifice unto God if you're doing any and everything the world is doing. An amen goes right there. that you're going to have to be different. You can't look like, you can't talk like, you can't act like the world and expect to be holy. No, the very idea of holiness is for you to be set apart. To be different. And listen, the world is putting a squeeze on the church and on Christians to conform, to fashion, to be fashioned after. Listen, because you see it on television don't mean it's right. And because people of high political status say it don't make it right. You can't be squeezed into and pressured into being fashioned after the world. He wants us to be holy. You ought not mind being holy. And you can live holy. I told you, you got help to live holy. But the problem is, some people don't want to live holy because holiness make them give up too much. They have to forsake too much. You know, you have to cut away from some of your friends. And you can't run with some of your family members. Holiness is at a high cost. It'll make you give up some things and shut some people out because you got to be different. He says that this life of sacrifice entails holiness. I'm different. Y'all ought to say that with me. I'm different. I'm different. I'm not just different on Sunday. I'm different. I'm different. You know, this consecration. I'm set apart. See, you can't run with the devil all week and think you're going to be holy on Sunday. No, you have to be what? Different. Different. Y'all say that with me one more time. I'm different. Now let me hear you say, I'm holy. You can be holy as a Baptist. I'm holy. That this life of sacrifice entails holiness. But here's the last. This life as a sacrifice requires transformation. That something has to take place on the inside that reflects on the outside. He deals with not being conformed, which means being fashioned, being squeezed to be like the world, this age. He puts a but, be ye transformed. Now, it's not a transformation of your hand. But it's a transformation of what controls your hand. It's not a transformation of your feet. But it's a transformation of what controls your feet. You know, some people said they go in the water. And when they came out of the water, their hands looked new. And their feet did too. The truth is, they came out with the same hands and the same feet, didn't look any different. but their minds were transformed to take their hands and control their hands in a new way, and to control their feet to keep them from going to certain places. That's why the old church would say, the things I used to do, I don't do anymore, and the places I used to go, I don't go anymore. Because there's a change that takes place in the mind. This word transformation is metamorpho is where we get our word, where metamorphosis is what a caterpillar does in changing into a butterfly. You know, caterpillar is kind of ugly. It goes in ugly, but it comes out beautiful. It's what Jesus did on the mountain of transfiguration when he was in the presence of Peter, James, and John. According to Matthew chapter 17, he was changed from the inside out. The Bible says that his glory overpowered his countenance, that there was a radiance about him because of the glory that was in him. He was shining and showing his glory from the inside. Oh, when we came to the Lord, we came in like that caterpillar. We were tore up from the floor up. We were messed up. Didn't have no God on our side. Too afraid to die. And too afraid to live. We were messed up. But the Lord fixed a cocoon for us. We went in as a caterpillar and came out as a butterfly. Do I have any butterflies? Somebody who know without a shadow of a doubt that you're different, and you're different because the Lord has not just changed you on the outside, but he has changed you on the inside. He says we are transformed by our minds. Thank God for a transformed mind. A complete change, which under the power of God will find expression in character and conduct change. It is William Barclay who said, this transformation is at the core of man's being. The idea is that Christians submitted to the power of God are changed into new creatures in Christ. That I'm not who I used to be. And don't you let people keep you in being who you used to be. You know, that just make people feel good, doesn't it? Trying to hold you and keep you in who you used to be. You know, they want to bring up all of that stuff you used to do before you got saved. And you just have to tell them that's the old me. You know, they want to talk about how you got in trouble when you were in grade school. That's the old me. They want to talk about how you partied and danced while you were in college. That's the old me. They want to talk about how you lived before you said I do. That's the old me. They want to talk about how you lived before God laid his hands on you. Somebody help me. That's the old me. But you ought to look at the new me, who's fashioned after the Lord Jesus Christ. You ought to look at the new me, who has a new walk and a new talk and a new desire. You ought to look at the new me. That all things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Not just some things, but all things. That he has changed my mind and has given me the mind of Christ, that I can live my life to bring glory to his name. I can live my life to to bring pleasure to his heart. I can live my life to bring joy to the heart of God. Is there anybody here who's living to bring glory to God? Every step I make, I'm making it to bring God glory. Everything I do and say, my intention is to do it for the glory and pleasure of God. I've learned how to get out of the Lord's way. I've learned how to give my life, the totality of my being, into the Lord's hands. God can do more with my life than I can do with it, so I give it over to Jesus. Is there anybody here who has given your life over to Jesus? And I want to ask you, if you have given your life over to Jesus, hasn't he made it better? So much better if you give your life to the Lord. I want to be like Jesus. I want to act like Jesus. I want the power of Jesus. I want the miracles of Jesus to rest in my life. And the only way I can receive what Jesus had and what he's willing to give, I got to have his mind. Y'all know what his mind made him do. His mind made him go to Calvary. His mind made him submit his life to the Lord. His mind marched him up the Via Dolorosa and made him give his hand to the spikes on the cross. His feet to the ribbon on the cross. His back to the thorn on the cross, and his head to the crown of thorns. His mind made him surrender his spirit unto his Father and die on that cross. If you're going to be like Jesus, you got to die to yourself. You got to get out of the Lord's way. You got to give him your whole life. You got to be willing to live and die for the Lord. Jesus died on that old rugged cross. They took his lifeless body down from that cross and put it in a borrowed tomb. He only needed to borrow it because he wasn't going to use it long. He only needed it Friday night, Saturday morning, and Saturday night. But somebody knows, early Sunday morning, he gave that grave back because he had all power in his hand. Why don't you help me close this sermon union style? Put your hand in somebody's hand and said, neighbor, I'm a living sacrifice. For the Lord I live, and for the Lord I'm willing to die. Neighbor, I'm walking with the Lord, and every day is better than the day before. Come on and shake somebody's hand and said, neighbor, I wouldn't trade nothing for my journey now. He brought me too far. He has seen me through too much. He has picked me up and turned my life around and planted my feet on solid ground. Yeah! Somebody holler with me. Yeah!
The doors, the doors of the Lord's house stands ajar.
Give it all over to him. Your complete life. Some of you are trying to hold back certain aspects of your life because of how it feels. Bless you. Bless you. But give him your whole life as a living, ing, continuous sacrifice. Not just one day, but every day. Lord, I live a surrendered life. I give it all over to you for your use, for your glory. My life in my own hands is messed up, but my life in his hands is straightened out. It's strengthened. He gives me what I need. It brings glory. That brings glory to his name. Come, if you're here today and you're not saved, give the Lord your life. You can believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and confess him with your mouth. And the Bible says thou shalt be saved. Secondly, if you're here and you are backslidden, the altar of the Lord is open. Come. Thirdly, if you're here in need of a church home and the Lord has laid New Bethlehem on your heart, don't hesitate, don't procrastinate. Come while the blood is running warm in your veins. Come on, come on, come on. Today is your day. Salvation. Today is your day.
Oh, the restoration. Redeeming. Today is your day. Blood, Jesus.
For church membership, come.
Shed for me.
You can come by letter, Christian Experience, oh, a candidate for baptism. Blood, bless you. Bless you. Come on, there's another. I feel it in my spirit. There's another. Don't you put off. Today for tomorrow. Come on, come on. Say that, say that.
For my sins.
Come on.
He bled and died.
Come on. Come on, the Lord is waiting on you. Come on. Come on, come on. The day you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Come on.
Redeeming blood.
I know you're here.
Jesus' blood shed for me.
Bless you.
Oh,
bless you. Come on. Come on. Don't you sit there on God. Come on. Come on. The Lord is speaking to your heart. Come on. Give him your life. Come on, y'all sing that now. Come on.
Oh, the blood, redeeming blood, Jesus' blood, shed for me. Oh, the blood,
come on, salvation,
saving blood, cleansing
Reckon.
Blood,
from restoration,
Calvary. Oh, Lamb of
membership,
God,
come on,
crucified.
Amen. We have two who have come for as candidate for baptism. Amen. Barry. Amen. 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 To be baptized, you have to believe in your hearts in the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and he died for our sins. He rose from the dead Sunday morning. Power of heaven and earth in his hand. Do you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Do you believe Jesus died on the cross for your sin?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Can you say Jesus is Lord of my life?
Jesus is the Lord of my life.
Amen. He says, when you confess the Lord Jesus with your heart, confess him with your mouth and believe him with your heart, you're saved. You're saved. And don't let no one else tell you different. Mom and dad will teach you more, and the church will teach you more about what it means to live saved. We'll baptize you on next Sunday. Amen. Y'all good with that? Amen. At the 10:30 service. Father, we thank you for these two young ladies who have come, Lord, to give their life to you. We pray that you receive them as yours, Lord, for your glory, Lord, and their good. Bless their young life to be fruitful, Lord, and that they will be examples and marquees and signboards, Lord, to reflect your grace and mercy. Forgive them of their sins and cleanse them from unrighteousness. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Robinson Armstrong. I don't know where I get Robinson from. But Armstrong. Amen. Look, we're happy to have you. Our Christian experience means that you all have already accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Here at the New Bethlehem Baptist Church, we have orientation for 4 weeks during the Sunday school hour from 9:20 to 10:20. And we want you to come and participate in the orientation classes held in the bridal room, taught by Sister Woods, great teacher. It is not to test, to try what you know, but it's to assimilate you into our church doctrinally and dutifully. We want you to be working members, not just pew members, but working members. The Bible says the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. So we want you to be working members. Amen. Do you agree to take those orientation classes? Amen. Will y'all start Sunday? Amen. Thank you. We welcome you into the New Bethlehem Baptist Church. Amen. Amen. Everyone stand to your feet if you will. Ask our deacon brethren to come. Does everyone have a communion couplet? If you don't have one, raise your hand. Amen. If you don't have one, raise your hand. Don't have one, raise your hands high. Raise your hand high. That sounds so good, doesn't it? Quoting the scripture, Jesus and his disciples gathered in the upper room in Jerusalem for the observance of the Passover. The Passover is when God gave orders to the Hebrews in Egypt to put blood on the doorposts. And he sent the death angel into Egypt. And every door that had blood on it, over the doorpost, the death angel passed. We're covered by the blood of Christ. And that's why Paul said there is no condemnation unto them who are in Christ Jesus. They were there to observe the Passover, to celebrate, to commemorate God sparing his people. And while they were there, Jesus took bread. He lifted it before his Father and he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Take, eat in remembrance of me." This ordinance, help us to remember. Keep on our minds afresh the sacrifice Christ made on Calvary. After they supped together, he took the cup and said, "This is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Take, drink." Father, we thank you. For what eyes have seen, ears have heard, hearts have received. Thank you, Lord, for manifesting yourself in our presence. Working on us, Lord, that we'll be a better people for your glory. Thank you for keeping us safe and bringing us into the sanctuary. Now we ask for safe travel and safety as we go from this place. Send angels before us. Encamp angels around us to keep us on the way. And Lord, we pray for rest and relaxation. Lord, as we settle ourselves at home and think on your mercies. We pray, Father, for strength, healing, and deliverance. For all, Lord, under the sound of my voice, even those who are watching and listening virtually. Lord, keep us. We pray for comfort for those who are bereaved, who's dealing with loss. Bless, Lord. Now may your grace, peace, the love of Jesus Christ, the communion of the Holy Spirit, rest, rule, and abide with us now, henceforth, and forevermore. And every heart say, amen.